It is well with our soul, Liston. Thanks.
Thank you, Tammy. Let's everybody please stand and turn to hymn 92. Hymn 92, God leads us along. We'll sing verse 1, 3, and 4, and the kids are dismissed to Children's Church. Hymn 92, 1, 3, and 4.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the fire, but all through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Verse 3.
Though sorrow befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads your dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
You may be seated.
Well, good morning. I had no idea that having my mother here was such a liability. I am not worried about her confirming my stories. I'm worried about her telling you ones I've never told you. And if you have met my mother and looked at her eye to eye, you had to bend over to do that because she's only 5 foot tall. And now you know why I'm so tall, is because my mother, I got my, and I'm the tallest kid, by the way. I am the giant of the family. Yeah. Speaking about my mom for just a minute, I get a lot of my traits from my mother and my father, but my dad passed away many, many years ago, and when he passed, dad was 50 and mom was 48, correct? Yeah, and so she's been a widow since she was 48 years old, and what a great example of godliness and hard work and service and things like that, and she's adventuresome. She's, how old are you now, Mom? Yeah, see, a little payback there. Yeah, don't you, 80. Yeah, she's 80 years old. And the other night, Thanksgiving evening, we were back at home, and I'd never done the whole, Black Friday actually starts on Thursday. You know that? That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that. That seems like that's like a lie. But it starts at Thursday at like 6 o'clock. Or something like that. And I'd never been out to Black Friday on Thursday night. And it was like 10:30 at night. We just got done watching like a Hallmark like Christmas movie. You know, they always end happy. And we're sitting there. I said, hey, now this is my mom. This is where I get this. I said, hey, let's go out to the stores and see what Black Friday Thursday night looks like. And my wife is like, what? Are you kidding me? It's 10:30. Mom goes, let's do it. So we saddle up and we go out shopping at 10:30 at night on Thursday night. And much to our dismay, much of my dismay, the sporting goods stores weren't open on Thursday night. So I had to go to Best Buy, which was a lot like going to the zoo on that night. It was you had to walk certain ways, and once you got into a certain aisle, you were stuck, and the only way out was to go all the way through. And what I discovered was there wasn't really anything there that was really priced like amazing. And then we went to Target, and I look like a Target shopper, I know. She's cringing for me. But we went to Target, and I got to learn, I got to experience that night. And my mom's like, let's do this. And we got home after midnight, and that's my mom. And she's like hardworking, adventuresome, and that's why I'm like I am. It's really her fault. It really is. The whole time she's been here, she's been, well, what can we do? Let's do some project. Let's do some work. It's like, Mom, we don't have to. But we've been working. The hardest vacation she's ever had for me. I've been moving furniture and hanging pictures and putting up lights and go home. Man. Shelly has a list because my mom hates being bored. So she gets there and Shelly she whips out this secret list of projects. And, of course, none of them don't include Randy. Because all the heavy moving, like an armoire and like file cabinets, well, that's my list. Okay. I knew nothing about this list till they got together. And so it's been great to have her here. It's been wonderful. And I'm thankful for godly parents, you know, I'm thankful for a godly legacy. And when we were out there looking around on Black Friday, Thursday night, I got to thinking, you know, Christmas is just on the horizon. And it would be easy to allow the message of society to become the message of Christmas for us. But that's not really the message of Christmas. And so my hope this morning is to just share with you what I really think Christmas is about. So as we go through the days between now and Christmas, and today is the 27th, so we're really just 2 days short of a month away. That as we go through those days between now and Christmas, that we keep our hearts settled on the right thing, okay? That we don't let the noise rob us of the joy. We don't have to. And I know that Christmas isn't easy for everyone. For some people, it's more difficult than for others, and I sympathize with you in that regard. But that doesn't change what Christmas is. And society doesn't change what Christmas is. And stores and sales and shopping don't change what Christmas is. What Christmas really is about relationship. It really is. It's about relationship. It's all about relationship. It's about God restoring a relationship with mankind. And that's the message of Christmas. And as we live our days between now and Christmas, if we keep that in mind, we let that be the purpose in our hearts like it was the purpose in God's heart, it changes how we approach everything. Invitations don't seem like obligations. They seem like opportunities. Chances to give a gift are not a burden. They're a blessing. Interactions with strangers are no longer bothersome, but doors open to share. So I want to just spend a little bit of time this morning, maybe just, this is not really a sermon per se, but just on recalibrating our hearts as we head into the Christmas season. And I think that would be good for us as Christians. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he is. And thank you for all that you have done, dear God, to reach down to us and to save us. Just give you the glory and the praise now in Christ's name. Amen. I appreciated, Tammy, your song. The first chorus was, I love you, Lord. You know that the only way that we could sing that song is because God loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. If you look through Scripture, it's always God that's making the first move. It's always God that's reaching his hand out and reaching his hand down and opening his heart up and pouring forth from heaven goodness and grace. The Bible says all good things and perfect things come down from where? From above. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variable nor shadow of turning. You see, everything good in our life, every good experience in our life, everything that does not require repentance, everything that's without remorse, is because of God. And the only way that we as people, as Christians, can even embrace that and feel that and love that and give that is because God went first. God went first. And we have to be careful that we don't let the purpose, that we don't miss the purpose for Christmas amidst the season of Christmas. And we can live a wonderful Christmas season, and all of the noise that's around, that's fine. It doesn't have to change the purpose for us as Christians. And I want to just talk about that. Relationship, Webster defines that as the quality or state of being connected to another, connected by blood, marriage, or kinship. Well, in the Garden of Eden, mankind enjoyed a relationship with God that was close, that was intimate. I mean, God made Adam and out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life and gave him purpose, gave him a beautiful paradise to manage. Okay, and then he gave him Eve, perfect helpmeet, loving God, giving. And mankind had this relationship with God that was unfettered, really. And then, of course, man did something. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:21. It shouldn't surprise us, nor should it disgust us, that the world takes things that are precious and makes them secular. That's what the world does. The world is secular. So we shouldn't be shocked by that or bothered by that or offended by that, because that's not what it is to us. But it says here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21, it says, for since by man came death. Notice who is the author of death here? Man, not God. Man. Man, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. We're referring to Christ, of course. For as in Adam, what is Adam's legacy to all mankind? All die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. God created mankind to be in a right relationship with him. And mankind destroyed that right relationship. And the result of that is we all have this spiritual DNA that is a sinful DNA that comes from Adam's original sin and carries down through the sins of all mankind. And at that point, the relationship, when God confronts Adam and Eve about their sin, What happens physically to them? They start aging. Weeds begin to grow. Where do they just stay in the garden? No, they're expelled from the garden. You see, it was the end of that. The relationship that they had enjoyed could no longer be enjoyed. And it wasn't because God changed. It was because they sinned. Now, you consider John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we like to stop there, but what does 17 say? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, that the world through him might be saved. Now, how did God send his Son? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world in the form of a baby. In the day we celebrate as Christmas. You see, Jesus came. God sent the God the Father sent Jesus the Son to be born in a manger, to be born of a virgin, that we might be able to have a relationship with him. That's what Christmas is about. It's a restoration of that which was lost. It's a renewing. And it's a beautiful thing. And we need to make sure that when we think of Christmas, we think about relationship. That relationship. Can you see the immensity of God's love in sending his Son? How many of you would send your son? Probably not. How many of you would take and separate your son? Not just send him. It's one thing to send him, but send him knowing full well that a part of that sending is going to include the sin of the whole world and the death on a cross. That speaks to the value that God places on a right relationship between us and him. All right? Because what did God gain? Huh? What did God gain by getting me? Getting you. Honestly, think about that. It was amazing. It was amazing in every way. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is asked a very interesting question. Matthew 22, verses 36 and 37. This question is asked by a lawyer, and that lawyer was testing Jesus to see what his answer would be. And he says, Master, verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment? And Jesus didn't hesitate. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt, and what's the next word? Love. Is love a positional word or a relational word? It's a relational word. Okay. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. It doesn't say thou shalt serve the Lord with all thy heart. Thou shalt worship the Lord with all thy heart. Thou shalt give the Lord with all thy heart. Thou shalt obey the Lord with all thy heart. What does it say? Thou shalt what? Love. Love. Have a relationship with, an affection for. Now, if we love God the way God calls us to love him, we will obey, we will honor him, we will worship him, we will give, we will serve. That'll all be a byproduct of that love. It really will. I can guarantee you, how many of you men in your marriage with your wife do things that you don't want to do, but you do them because you love her? You don't have to raise your hands. Everybody's looking at me like, you're not really going to make me raise my hand. But you do, and how many of you wives do things for your husbands because you love them? You don't really want to do. See, all the ladies raise their hand. Yeah, we do that. That's what love does, right? Well, when Jesus is asked, what's the most important thing by this lawyer? The most important thing, love God. Have a relationship with God that's defined by love, a love that produces things. I love the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Turn over there with me, please. In this parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, We know that many, I'm sure most of us know the story. The guy has two sons, and the younger of them says, I want to have my portion of goods. Give me my inheritance. I'm going to go and live my own life. And he did that, and he goes and he lives it, and Bible says is wasted his substance with riotous living. He just lived the wild life. He walked away from the relationship with his father. He just walked away from it. It was a good relationship, and he walked away. He had everything. Good home, good family, support, walked away. Just like mankind did in the Garden of Eden. Walked away. And he's gone, and finally the Bible says he comes to himself. You know what? I tell you what. Until we as Christians, even if we're on a miniature prodigal journey, until we come to ourselves, we can be pretty stubborn. But once we come to ourselves, like, what am I doing? You ever said that to yourself? What am I doing? And it's like, okay, God. And you turn and you find out that you may have walked a long ways, but you turn around and God is right there. Well, this guy turns around in this story, the son turns around and look at verse 20. I'll tell you what, this is the most beautiful picture. Verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father. The guy is feeding pigs and he's far away and he says, what am I doing? I can go back and be a servant and have a better life than what I got going on here. And he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, which means his father was looking for him and had compassion. His father didn't have indignation. His father didn't have anger. His father didn't say, you're going to pay. He had compassion. Folks, God looked down at a sinful man and had compassion. At Christmas, he sent his son to restore a relationship. He had compassion. He looks at, and he has compassion. And I love that he ran. Dad leaves the porch. And dad runs to his son. Now you can picture the son wondering, what does this running mean? Is this good running or bad running? But his fears were allayed because he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Boy, isn't that true of us? Are we worthy to be called the sons and daughters of God? Not worthy by our own choices. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And this is what he says in verse 20. Why? What about all I did? Why? For this my son was dead, like you who are dead in trespasses and sins, and is alive again. You've been born again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That was all about relationship. That was all about restoring the relationship. He didn't say, where have you been? What have you done? How dare you? I'm not going to hire you as a servant. No. And what did God do when he looked out at mankind? He sees the same thing. The prodigal creation, his people. And he sends his son to redeem us to himself. Man, what a beautiful picture. That's what Christmas is. It's a restoration of a relationship. Luke 19:10, Jesus is at Zacchaeus' house, and he's telling him there's mission. He says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. That's awesome. That which, what are the last two words? Was lost. What was lost? Relationship. When sin entered the world, relationship was lost, and Jesus said, I have come. God sent me at Christmas as a baby to come and to seek and to save, to redeem that which we had before and have lost. That's what it's all about. Jesus didn't come to save. He came to save that which was lost. It had been there and then was lost because of sin, and they came to get it back. You see, Jesus came not just as a baby. He came to take back what was his? A people for his name. But it required his sacrifice. Christmas is about God restoring, making possible to restore in our lives a relationship with him. God doing all the work. I'll tell you what, the feelings that you get at Christmas, the stuff as a Christian, don't let the noise mask the reality. The reality is who we are in Christ is because of what Christ has done in us. All right? God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world in the form of a baby in a manger on the day we celebrate Christmas, on what we call Christmas, that he might seek and to save that which was lost, restore to us a relationship with God through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. What a beautiful picture. Christmas is about that. It's about relationship all the way around. When we do Operation Christmas Child, that's about relationship. That's about boxes full of stuff that include the gospel. And we are sending something to kids we don't know who are going to open that box and get stuff they've never had and know that somebody somewhere loves them. That's relationship, folks. And when those little kids who have nothing get something, and we've seen it on the videos, and all, they're like, somebody somewhere in this giant world that seems hopeless cares about me. And then they read the gospel and say, well, they care about me because Jesus cares about me. And the relationship that they have not had with God, they have the opportunity to have. Make no mistake, Operation Christmas Child is about relationships. Okay? The Harvest Banquet is about relationships. The Adult Christmas Party is about relationships. It's not about prizes or games. It's about relationships. It's about celebrating the oneness in Christ that we have because of what he has done. When you give a gift to somebody, it's not about the gift. It's about the relationship that the gift allows you to express. Don't look at gifts as a burden. Don't look at interactions as a obligation. Look at them as opportunities to celebrate the relationship that God has restored in us and the relationship that we, because we have it with God, should seek with others. It really is a beautiful thing. If we allow it, if we let it, the real essence of Christmas, which is relationship, will be the heartbeat of our hearts throughout the Christmas season. And people will see that. People will see that. Think about the words of the Apostle Paul. What was his goal? Turn to Philippians 3, 8 through 10. Pastor Mike, aren't you teaching out of Philippians tonight? Where are you teaching out of tonight? Philippians 2, okay. I wanted to make sure. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's talking about what he's given up and everything else. And he says, yea, in verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Want to know Christ? Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I might possess solely Christ. He says, that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is Christ. Not Christ the position, but Christ the person. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then look at the first five words in verse 10. That I may know him. That's what Paul wanted. He said, I've cleared the decks. I've gotten everything else out of the way. Why? So that I could know Christ. Folks, that's relationship. That's what it is. It's all about relationship. And Paul says, that's what I got to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his. I got to know him so well, it's like I was there every step of his life. So I was there every step of his ministry. When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. And the Bible says that, by the way, that we are crucified with Christ. And we were raised just as he was. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Paul says, my motive is to know him. Folks, at Christmas time, if you're a Christian, you know him. Just remember, don't get bothered by the stuff. It's about relationship. And no amount of noise can change the truth. At Easter, they have Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. That's not Easter. Who cares? At Christmas, they have sales and stuff. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is that Jesus Christ came with the thing we call celebrate as Christmas as a baby to grow into a man, to live his ministry, a sinless life, to die on the cross for you and for me, and then be buried and then raised again from the dead so that you and I could have a relationship with God that was just like the one that Adam had, only better because we have God in us, the hope of glory. It's a beautiful thing. That's Christmas.
Between now and December 25th, remember every day, this is about relationship. Jesus is speaking words of comfort to his disciples. He says, let not your heart, and this is John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. Why? Because if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, it's not just about the relationship now with God. It's about the future relationship when we are going to be with Christ. Stop and think about that. I mean, God is saying, I'm going to make ready a place for you so that when the time is right, you and I are going to be together. We're going to be together forever. That's relationship. It began at Christmas. Jesus' ministry begins with the most intimate of human relationships, mother and baby. It doesn't get closer than that. And then he's formed in his early years in the perfect institution that God created, the family. All about relationships. When he goes into his ministry, he calls his disciples, intimate friends whom he calls friends, relationships. All of the people he ministered to, he's always going to their houses. Remember, he was accused of supping with sinners, building relationships all the way along. Jesus invested heavily in relationships. When he's out there in the wilderness preaching, and all there's thousands of people and they're hungry, and the disciples say, let's send them away. What did Jesus say? No, let's feed them. Relationships. When he is on the edge of the Sea of Galilee and his disciples are out in the boat, what does he do? He fixes them a meal and calls them in and sits down and eats with them. Relationship. Relationship. When he went to the cross to pay for your sins and my sins and be made the righteous, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him, it's all about relationship. You see, Christmas is all about relationship. It's not about presents. I mean, presents are great, but they're an expression of relationship. Time together is great, but it's an expression of relationship. We have all these opportunities to reinforce and to talk about the most blessed relationship there is, the one we have with Jesus Christ, the one we have with God the Father, the one we have. There's nothing more intimate than the Holy Spirit being inside of us. What a profound relationship. It's amazing to me. He rose from the dead as evidence of payment accepted, that he might be the captain of our salvation, leading the way and assuring us of a future resurrection as well. He went to heaven and serves as our advocate with the Father. He presents a blood testimony of his sacrifice, once made. He is coming again to receive us. It's a relationship. You know, we have a holiday to celebrate Jesus' birth. It's Christmas, and it's about relationship. We celebrate his resurrection because that was actually the death and burial and resurrection was actually the other end of that same story. Christmas and Easter are the chapters of the same book, okay? It's all about redemption, redeeming us from the slave market of sin so that we could be joint heirs with Christ. It's about relationship. And this Christmas is a beautiful thing. So, what's our response to that love? Let's make sure that as we go through the Christmas season, and like I said, I am sensitive to the fact that it's not easy for everybody. But maybe if we will keep our hearts and our heads centered on the fact that Christmas represents the restoration of a relationship, God's reaching down to man and restoring through Jesus Christ a relationship that was lost so long ago and making it possible. It's a beautiful thing. I have to be honest with you. I love Christmas. I don't love it for the gifts. I don't really care about gifts. I love giving gifts, but I mean, I don't really care about gifts. But I love seeing people. And I love bumping into strangers. And watching what happens. And you cannot deny that in the world at Christmas time, there is a change that comes over the world. People's hearts soften. They're willing to listen to things they would never listen to and consider things they would never consider. And I just submit to you that the message of Christmas, restoring the relationship, is still as loud and as alive as it ever was. But let's make sure that we as Christians are living in our lives, that we don't live the other Christmas. We live the beautiful Christmas of relationship. Amen? Because God did, through his Son Jesus Christ, redeem us from the slave market of sin. He bought, that means he bought us back. Stop and think about that.
He bought us back after we ran away. We ran to the slave market of sin and he bought us out of it. That's a beautiful thing. And we have been redeemed. That's what the word redeemed means. Aren't you glad you're redeemed this morning? Aren't you glad that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, I got to tell you, you've never lived the reality of Christmas. The reality of Christmas is the relationship that you can have with God. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if you are a Christian, man, let's let the reality of that relationship just be loud. Live it. And the noise will just fade away. The busyness will just change. Don't blame people that don't know Christ for missing the message of Christmas. Be the message of Christmas for them so they can see it. Amen? Let's all stand together. Let's turn together and let's sing Redeemed, 357. We are redeemed to a relationship, 357, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am.
Look at the words of verse 3. We're going to sing stanza 3 and then do the chorus a cappella. Stanza 3 says, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Let that be our theme this Christmas. Think of our blessed Redeemer. Let's sing stanza 3. We'll do the chorus a cappella. Stanza 3.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song.
Sing out.
Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am.
And all God's people said, amen, amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this day. And thank you for the Christmas season, God, when we can celebrate the birth of your Son, when we can celebrate the beginning of the restoration of relationship, dear God, that actually has its roots going all the way back to Abraham and beyond. God, thank you so much that your plan for redemption has always been in place. God, that you are restoring relationships, dear God, that you're restoring that which was lost, dear Lord. Thank you so much for reaching down to earth and loving us. Let us, I pray, represent to a world that's in darkness the true meaning of Christmas, the relationship that they can have through your Son with you. In whose name we pray, amen.
Amen.